Hey, what's up, what's up, what's up? Freedom Tech, welcome everybody to the weekly stream. I'm going to check here to make sure we're streaming live. Going over zap.stream, looks like we're live over here. Right on, let's check on the YouTubes. Okay, we're live on YouTube. Sounds good. Okay, sometimes I get the setup and I want to make sure everything's perfect before I hit go live. But there's always that moment where you hit go live and you wonder, did I get everything set up? So sorry that I'm a little late. I've been traveling a lot lately, the last few weeks. I spent this week over in Oslo, Norway at the Oslo Freedom Forum, which is put on by HRF every year. A lot of really cool things. I was able to be part of the AI and Freedom Tech track over there. Spent Monday and Tuesday doing workshops for AI for activists. So this was 3 hours each day where activists and different organizations could stop by. We just had open office hours and they could come in and learn about how to use AI for their organization, how they can use it to generate content, how they can help do things like write grant proposals and save a lot of time there because that is a laborious process. And then also, there were questions about how they can use AI to detect propaganda, detect misinformation, false things that are being created by governments and by other organizations against them. So, kind of fight fire with fire type stuff. AI is being used by everyone, whether you like it or not. So, it's empowering to learn how to use it. We are here on Freedom Tech Weekend. We are not an AI show necessarily, but it will be covered and it is being used as part of the show because it is infiltrating everything and being used everywhere. So it's a good tool to learn how to use. This week, we are talking about Signal, about the Signal app, messaging app. It's something that I use every single day. A lot of people depend on it. At Oslo Freedom Forum, Signal is one of the core technologies that many people use. It's not the only one. We shouldn't just depend on one app to handle everything because there's always a chance that that app has a vulnerability or gets taken over by another organization in the future and the ethos change. But what are we doing here on Freedom Tech Weekend every week? Is we are learning these tools so that we can make these decisions for ourselves. We want to understand the trade-offs. We want to understand how they can be implemented into our lives so that we can decouple ourselves and be more decentralized in the way that we run our own technology stack. So, with that being said, let's dive into Signal. How many people we have here this week? So, we've got a few watching on X and on YouTube. We've got some watching over on zap.stream. So welcome to all the streamers that are here with us this weekend on this great and wonderful Friday. Could be morning, could be afternoon, wherever you are. It's Friday. It's the weekend. We are going to play with technology this weekend. Let me get the chat open up over here so I can see if you want to participate in this show. This is a live show. You can feel free to comment. I'll see it in the chat. And you can help steer what we look at here. I actually did get a comment on Noster when I posted the message about this going live soon. I had a user who posted something interesting that just got pushed out today on GitHub. It is a Signal integration between Signal and a local AI so that you can interact with your local AI over Signal. I think that's really compelling. Signal has to my understanding, there aren't easy ways to do bot integrations with Signal. And some of it has to do with privacy security. I think some of it has to do with not wanting the platform to get overtaken with bot spam. That's not an area that I've really taken a deep dive into yet. But this is really compelling because it would be awesome to be able to have a trusted AI. Local is one of the safest ways to use AI, so it'd be awesome to invite that into a Signal chat. We've been exploring this with Maple AI. How do we take the most private cloud AI that exists and integrate it into Signal, which in my mind is one of the safest text messaging platforms out there. So this is a compelling project, and we'll pull it up here on the stream in just a little bit. So what are you going to get today over the next, we have 25 minutes left, right? What are we going to get over the next 25 minutes? We are going to look at what is Signal. It's probably something you've heard of. I'm guessing a lot of viewers and listeners here, if you're live or listening to this later, you've probably used Signal already. But if you don't, then let's give you a primer on it. What is it? Who makes it? And then what are the security claims and the privacy claims that Signal makes? And are they legitimate? And what are the trade-offs that they're making? Because if you're going to use this to communicate with your loved ones, with friends, with work, you know, coworkers, important business contacts, or if you are an activist that is dependent on this communication to send really important information that you don't want to have intercepted, are all these claims true? I don't know that we'll be able to get to the bottom of it all today, but I want to help you know where to look and start this exploration so that you can continue it, because everybody's situation is different. Everybody has their own personal security profile and needs. And so I always recommend that people continue the search on their own and figure out if this is the right technology to work into your stack. There's Signal really came into the limelight over the last few weeks when allegedly some high-ranking United States government officials accidentally or didn't accidentally invite in journalists as they were having discussions about bombings and other war type events. So take that for what it is. Let's go ahead and share the screen and dive into Signal here. So I'm going to pull up screen share and start sharing the screen of my private server that I have. This is the server where we do all of our Freedom Tech Weekend stuff. Okay, great. Just making sure it's all set up and ready to go. Share screen. We are up to 15 people watching now. Welcome, everybody. Okay, now I'm going to make sure that on YouTube that the screen is sharing, because sometimes it doesn't work. And I did an entire stream one time where the screen was not sharing and it was like, womp womp, that sucks. Okay, now that I'm on here, this looks good. I also want to make my window a circle. One of these days I'm going to figure out how to make that the default. There we go. Okay, looks like we're streaming live everywhere. The screen is being shared. Oh, great. Okay. So I've got two things open on my screen here. And for all the people that are listening to this on audio later on the podcast, I always try to tell as much of what we're seeing visually so that you can follow along. On the right side here, the whole thing is the Orion browser. So on the right side, I've got Orion opened up to the Signal website, as well as a few tabs here that we'll go through, like Signal's GitHub, their community page, and then a new project, the Signal bot that chats with your local AI. I've got that open up on a tab. That was honestly hot off the presses. It was released just a few hours ago. I don't know anything about it other than I do follow the person on Noster. So we'll take a look and see what's going on. And then on the left side of the screen, I have Maple open. This is Maple AI. You can go check it out at trymaple.ai, or you can go on the Apple App Store and search for Maple AI and look for the green leaf. And use the world's most private AI chat in the cloud. This is what we make on Freedom Tech Weekend. We don't have any sponsors. We don't ask, you know, for you to subscribe money-wise to this show. But I'm one of the two people that makes Maple AI, and I would love for you to try it out. So just go get a free account. And when you see the value in having end-to-end encrypted private AI chat, upgrade to one of the premium plans, because you're going to get so much more value out of it when you do. Okay. But we use Maple every week on this show to help us understand what we're looking at. So this week, this is a brand new feature, by the way, in Maple, is the ability to edit the system prompt. Our system prompt is open source. Maple is open source. You can see our system prompt is basically zero. We don't do much to the system prompt. You can see what it is. And then we added the ability for users to add to to the system prompt in a new chat. So that's what I've done here. I've created a character, if you will. IT security researcher that works with the executive team. You are a security researcher who understands cryptography and data transmission technology at a deep level. You're regularly called upon to present findings and recommendations to high-level officials who don't have strong technical expertise. And I wrote quite a bit more in here, but basically, I want Maple to get in this frame of mind where it's going to understand deep technical privacy issues, but know how to explain them, at a 30,000-foot level, at a high level there. And now I'm going to actually write my prompt. I'm preparing to recommend the Signal messaging app to my large organization. I think it is great, but I need to be prepared to answer questions about how private and secure it really is. So give me an overview of the security of Signal. Oh, looks like, haha, see, I just got booted off the screen share on Restream. Not sure what that's about, but let's just reshare it. I'm glad that I'm paying attention to this. Okay, share screen again. There we go. Give me an overview of the security of Signal. We'll just leave it at that. Text diagrams are helpful as well. Okay, so while Maple is churning on that, let's just hit go. Let's go over here and explore the website. So Signal is available on all major platforms, and it's an app that you use. It requires a phone number to sign up, which could be a small blocker for some people, but everybody's got a phone number, and there are also lots of ways to get privacy phone numbers. So if you need a little more security, you can go that route. All right, but like this says here, they don't have any ads, they don't have trackers. They just make Signal free for everybody. There's no premium plan to sign up for with Signal. The way that they continue to survive is that you can donate to them. And you can also, there's a whole virtue signaling aspect to it, right? Where when you donate, you can get like a fun little badge that you put on your profile so you can show to people how amazing you are to donate. I'm tongue in cheek, I'm making fun of it, but there's some value to that too in some ways. You can pay with regular fiat rails, or you can do crypto and pay with Bitcoin and other things, right? You can pay with stock, apparently. So you can donate to the foundation. They have a tax ID in the United States. So apparently, I didn't know this, but you could donate to Signal and it looks like you can do a tax write-off. So if you're somebody who works in a business where you get stock given to you as part of your compensation and you want to get a tax write-off at the end of the year, you can actually donate stock. A lot of people don't know this. This is a quick life hack. As your stock goes up in value in the United States, check your jurisdiction wherever you are in the world. But as your stock goes up in value, if you don't want to sell it and take that gain and pay taxes on that gain, you can donate that stock and then you save on the capital gains tax because you can write that off and all sorts. Go ahead and ask Maple about it, but it's a little life hack you can have. Okay, so that's how they're funded. I bring that up and I bring that up not to try and sell the product to you and try to sell you on premium plans. Like every week I do this. I actually really like to understand these projects, how they make their money, because that tells you what their incentives are. Is it the Berkshire Hathaway guys, show me the incentive and I'll show you the outcome kind of thing. So that's a big part of these projects. Let's flip over. The other quick thing I like to do initially is I like to go look at how easy is it to get to their source code? Do they have source code and what's going on there? So let's flip over to the GitHub. You can get there, by the way. We scroll all the way to the bottom of their website and you've got the GitHub link right here. So you can get to them that way. Trying to get the chat open up here again. There we go. Okay, so we're over on their GitHub now and they have different projects. They have their Android app, iOS app, they have the desktop app, they've got a Signal server. And then they've got a library that's shared with a bunch of primitives and stuff that share between all the different projects. So those are their five that they have pinned at the top. I'm going to assume that there are a lot more. Yeah, they've got like WebRTC. Signal has a variety of features we'll look at here in just a second. And then they've got their own libraries, their pods and things that they share. So it looks like they're using CocoaPods for the iOS development. I'll forgive them for that. Okay, they got a lot of repositories. So they're very active. Let me go back. I also like to look at how active things are. As I'm going through this, hopefully I'm kind of teaching you some ways for you to vet projects on your own. Go look at their open source, go look at GitHub or GitLab, wherever they decide to host it, and see how active it is, right? Sometimes you might stumble across a project that looks really cool and it hasn't been active in a few years, which lets you know that it is not being maintained. There could be vulnerabilities in there that have been exposed and not patched, right? Because a lot of these open source projects, pretty much all of them, have dependencies on other open source projects. And if somebody's not keeping theirs up to date, then some of their dependencies might have vulnerabilities. And by using it, you might make yourself vulnerable. So having active projects reduces your risk. Doesn't bring it down to zero though. So let's go look at Signal Server, Signal for Android, for iOS, for desktop. Okay, we'll just kind of show you Signal Server 18 hours ago. Signal for Android was active last week. iOS 2 days ago. Signal for desktop 2 days ago. So yes, they are doing active development. Please excuse my dog barking at the front door. They're doing active development on everything here. Okay, they also have a community page, which I accessed from the bottom. So they've got a whole spot where you can go chat with other Signal users. You can give them UI, UX feedback, feature requests. They have a whole beta program you can sign up for to try the latest beta stuff for Android, iOS, desktop, support, general discussion. So great community. I don't know how thriving it is, to be honest, but it's great that they have this. Okay, some of the features, like what is Signal and why do we want to use it? So Signal at a high level is an end-to-end encrypted text messaging application. What that means is, got booted off the dang screen share again. Hello, everybody. Let's get this back going. I don't know why Restream keeps doing that. Okay, Signal, when you text with somebody on Signal, your message is encrypted on your device privately and then sent over to that person and decrypted on their device. So nobody in the middle can see it, right? It doesn't go to a server and sit there in the open for anybody on that server to read. It's also difficult for somebody in the middle to insert themselves and read the communication because it is a private encryption pipe between you and the other person. So even though things will be routed through servers, they're encrypted away from people on that server. Okay. So we asked Mabel to explain this to us. We're going to check that out here right now. Real quick, the other high level features is that Signal can do text messaging. You can send images, you can send videos, you can send links to websites. And then you can also actually have audio and video calls through Signal, which I've used all of these features and I depend on all these features every day, every week for my personal life and for my business life. Mostly I've been using it for business. My goal is to kind of start using it for personal communications as well. So that really is, I think, the call to action here on this week's episode is, I'm going to give it to you now, but I'll give it to you again at the end. Think about one contact that you have where you're chatting with them over a different text messaging app that is less secure. Whether that be regular text messages, I'm not talking the iMessage platform that is also encrypted, but when you go between Android and iOS, it's less secure. So find someone who you're chatting with that way or through something like WeChat or some other messenger, right? And get them to move over to Signal, just one person, and you start chatting with them there. Okay. All right, we're over 20 people watching the stream. Welcome, everyone. Great to have you. Feel free to post anything in the chat, any questions you have or ideas or ways that you like to use Signal. If you have found something really cool about Signal, go ahead and post it in there. Okay, so Mabel came back to us. It got this nice little diagram here that's super high level and simple. But at the high level, it says that their security can be thought of as a combination of three components. So you have end-to-end encryption, and then you have a secure key exchange, and then you have a secure server infrastructure. So with end-to-end encryption, Signal uses end-to-end encryption, which means that only the sender and intended recipient can read the message. This is achieved through the use of public key cryptography, where each user has a pair of keys, a public key and a private key. So when you send a message, Signal encrypts it with the recipient's public key. The encrypted message is then transmitted to the Signal server. The server forwards a message to the recipient. The recipient's device decrypts the message using their private key. Okay. Public key, private key, these can be confusing terminologies. I think a lot of people that listen to Freedom Tech Weekend do already understand this. Really quick, what it means, if you don't, is it's a key pair. So when you generate a key pair, you get a public and a private key. The private key is your way to sign your message, to encrypt your message, right? And only you have access to that. So it's like your password in a way, right? So if I were going to write a handwritten letter and fold it up into a paper airplane, and I was just amazing, I could throw it anywhere in the world, right? And I'm going to throw it to you and it's going to soar through the air. Well, that paper airplane could get intercepted at any moment by anyone and read. So I'm going to use my private key to jumble the text, and then I'm going to send it to you. And you receive it and you're like, well, this is all jumbled up. I don't know how to read this. So instead, what I want to do is I want to use something that you know to decipher it. And so you have this public key that goes along with your private key. And so you give me your public key. This is the thing that can be shared. And it says, anybody that's going to send something to me, encrypt it and include this public key in there. And then I will be able to decrypt it on my end because it was meant for me. And because you have the private key that goes along with that public key, you are able to decrypt it. That's a high level how private public key pairs work. So what Signal does is they use that, and they have step number two is this secure key exchange. Signal uses a protocol called the ended triple Diffie-Hellum X3DH key agreement protocol to securely exchange keys between users. This protocol allows users to establish a shared secret without actually exchanging the key itself, right? I got booted again. So when you start a conversation with someone, Signal generates a shared secret key using X3DH. This shared secret is then used to encrypt and decrypt messages. So it's using the private key, public key pair, and it is creating this new exchange and this new shared secret that you two have. And so you can share messages back and forth, and it blocks others from sniffing and from looking at the conversation. And then number three is the Signal's secure server architecture. Their infrastructure is designed to be secure and minimize the risk of data breaches. Signal uses a technique called metadata minimization, which means that the server only stores the minimum amount of information necessary to facilitate communication. By the way, this is what Maple does as well. We retain the lowest amount possible on our servers to allow you to chat privately with the AI. Signal servers do not store any message content. Signal servers only store the phone numbers and public keys of registered users. Some other security features worth mentioning include perfect forward secrecy. Signal uses a technique called perfect forward secrecy, that's a mouthful, which means that even if an attacker obtains a user's private key, they will not be able to decrypt any previous messages. Forward secrecy is something that's really cool. I recommend you dive into it more. We don't have enough time here to really go into it, but it's the thing where, let's say that you have this really long text thread going with somebody. Say that you are a journalist and you have an activist who is in a country that is trying to expose corruption, and you've had this long going text thread with them over Signal. And then at some point, one of your private keys gets compromised, right? So someone is somehow able to get a hold of accessing your Signal private key. And now they try to log in and see, well, the previous messages will not be available to them. They will only be able to see things moving forward. You still don't want to give up and compromise your private key, but this ensures that the history will not be able to be read. Okay, next bullet point here on the other features worth mentioning, we have authentication. Signal uses a technique called, sometimes AI is is not great. Signal uses a technique called authentication to verify the identity of users. This ensures that you are actually communicating with the person that you think you are. So it sounds silly, authentication, right? But something that Signal actually does is they have, I think it's called a buddy code or something. I can't remember the specific name that they use. But basically when you connect with somebody, there's this little extra step that they do for you to say, hey, do you just want to verify that this person is really who they say they are? And then actually over the lifetime, if that person you're chatting with, if they change phone numbers, or somehow kind of change what they're doing, you actually get a message in your chat that says, hey, this person, something changed about this user. So please just reach out to them in a way other than Signal to make sure that you're still talking to the right person. So they try to alert you when there's some funny behavior that's gone on. So I've had a couple people that I chat with over Signal have some kind of change that was legitimate to them. It's still the same person I'm chatting with, but Signal alerts you to that and just says, hey, just letting you know, you might want to verify that you're still chatting with the correct person here. Okay, third bullet point that is pointed out here by Maple is that they have code audits and transparency. Signal's code is open source, which means that security experts can review and audit the code to ensure it is secure. Signal also publishes transparency reports, which provide information about government requests for user data. These are all operating under a trust model, right? So we trust that the code running on their servers is the same as the open source code they publish. To my knowledge, they're not using secure enclaves with attestation, which we use at Maple, but they could, and maybe they will in the future. I've got a lot of respect for Signal so far and how they've been pushing the envelope on things. So it'd be great to see them use secure enclave infrastructure in the future and publish attestations that clients can use when talking to the Signal servers, so we know exactly what's running on there. But people can do security audits. And then it said here that they publish transparency reports. So they say that when they get requests from governments, they're going to publish those requests. We can't verify that they publish all of them, but it's great that they have this method and say that they're doing this. Okay, download and sign up. Some of these tools are hard to show off on the stream specifically because they require like phone numbers and things, but this is a Mac server that I'm on, so I'll just do this here. So you can download for Mac, let it download, and then like all Mac applications, it's going to give us, or most of them at least, right? It's going to give us this little window here where we drag it into the applications folder. I'm not going to get very far on this because I don't have an extra phone number or privacy phone number to sign up with here. But let's go ahead and launch the Signal app. Doing a little verification. Warning, are you sure you want to open this? You got it from the internet? Yep. Okay, so what are we getting here? This is a QR code, and it says scan this code in the Signal app on your phone. So Signal on the Mac and on the desktop, really for Linux and Windows as well, the way that they operate is they assume that you are starting on a phone because you have to have a phone number to use Signal to get started. Your phone number is not exposed to everybody. You can choose who you want to share your phone number with. I have mine turned off. Instead, I have a Signal username, and people can connect to me over the username because I don't want to expose my phone number. If you don't know why your phone number, why you should be more careful with that, you can look up things like SIM swap attacks, SIM as in like the SIM card in your phone. SIM swap attacks are ways for people to breach your security. So look into those. But so if I'm using Signal on my phone, then I got booted again. You're only seeing my screen, dang it. Let's go back. Okay, so now we're back on. All right, so it shows this QR code here, and I go into my Signal app that I'm signed into, and I say tap on link devices under settings, and then I scan this QR code, and now it will link my desktop to my phone app, and it's going to create a private connection. Let's actually ask Maple really quick. when I link a desktop signal app to my phone app, what is happening from a security standpoint? Why do I have to scan this QR code? Okay, let's see what they say. Okay, when you link the desktop signal app to your phone, you're establishing a desktop secure connection between the two devices. This process is called device linking. It's creating a pre-shared secret. When you open the Signal desktop app for the first time, it generates a unique pre-shared secret, a PSK, to establish a secure connection between your desktop and phone. Then it generates a QR code that has the PSK along with some other information such as desktop app's public key and a unique identifier. When you scan the QR code with your phone, I just got a zap. Thanks for the zap. 100 sats from an unknown user. Appreciate it. If anybody has any questions, also feel free to post those in the chat. So QR code, when you scan it with a Signal app on your phone, the phone extracts the PSK and other information from the QR code. Then there's a key exchange. The phone app uses the PSK to establish a secure key exchange between the desktop app. This key exchange is done using the X3DH protocol, which is the same protocol used within Signal for end-to-end encryption. Then there's a secure channel established. Once the key exchange is complete, a secure channel is established between the desktop and phone apps. This channel is used to synchronize messages, contacts, and other data between the two devices. So it's like the apps are actually chatting with each other as two different users, but they are both you. And so what's cool about this is, like, the whole forward secrecy theme thing that we talked about earlier and that kind of stuff is, if you just opened up the app on another computer, you wouldn't have the history. So this establishes a trusted, secure channel where they can kind of share some of that previous history as well with each other. But yeah, so it's like you've got these two different apps now that say, I trust you, and I know that we are both actually the same users. So now, as I'm chatting with other people, if I log in on desktop or on phone, it can actually give me all of that history, and I can see everything, and I can have them stay synchronized. All right. So it's pretty cool. By the way, this whole user experience of, like, QR code scanning and stuff, this is something that we solve. This user experience we solve with Secure Enclaves, with OpenSecret, and with Maple, where instead you just sign in with your email username and password, or secure sign or a single sign-on with, like, Google or other authentication methods, so that you don't have to do this QR code scanning. We establish this whole connection for you behind the scenes. Okay. This is as far as I'm going to get on the Signal desktop app, because I'm not going to show you my Signal chats. All right. Let's see. Maple gave us a cool little diagram here. I'm going to see if there's anything in it that's more interesting and useful to share on the audio. But if you're on video, you can see this little diagram for yourself. And you can generate your own diagrams using Maple, ChatGPT, any of those things. All right. So we're running close on time here. But the last thing I wanted to share is this project that got brought up to me on Noster when I mentioned I was going to be covering this today. How long have we been going for? 33 minutes. We are over on time. I'm sorry, because I like to keep things on time. So we will be really quick here. This is a project from Ali Jazz, somebody that I follow on Noster as well. But they have posted this project called Signal Llama. Llama is, Olama actually, is an open source local AI you can run on your device. And then its name references Llama, which is Facebook or Meta, which is their open source model that they publish. So Signal Llama is a Signal bot to chat with your Olama instance. Signal Llama is a bridge between Signal Messenger and LLM models. It allows you to chat with AI models through Signal messages. While primarily designed for use with Olama, it supports multiple LLM providers through Light LLM. So it's written in Python here. It requires a dependency, the Signal CLI REST API. So let's look at that really quick. So this is another project that was updated 4 days ago. and it is a Dockerized Signal Messenger REST API using Docker to deploy. This project creates a small Dockerized REST API around the Signal command line interface. Okay, so we've got some layers here to explore if you want to explore these, but this is really interesting. I don't know anything about this project yet. I'm looking at it live with you for the first time, but you, let's see, Signal API configuration, you give it a URL to your Signal API. I assume that's this Docker container. And then you give it the phone number that you use with Signal. And then you give it information about your local AI, your local LLM that you're running over Ollama and supposedly other ones you could use as well. Verify all this before you start giving out your information. Verify that it is running locally. Verify this project that I brought up too, Signal CLI REST API. I don't know anything about it, but on paper, these all sound really cool and could be a way to bring an AI into your Signal chats, which has a lot of really cool, interesting use cases. This is something we want to explore with Maple to bring the most private cloud AI into your Signal as well, if possible. But that is it for today. So thanks for joining us on Freedom Tech Weekend. I'm going to leave you with my challenge to you. Let's drop out of screen share on our own this time. My challenge to you is to give Signal a try. If you haven't tried it, download it, sign up for it if you think it fits your security model. Again, don't do it just because I'm saying to, but I would encourage you to look into it and then try it out. And then get one friend or family member or somebody that you chat with in another method that is less secure. Get them to move over to Signal with you and send a few messages, and maybe you can just start chatting with just that one person over Signal and see how it behaves. I think you're going to find that it is as good as any other messaging app that you use and has all the features that you are looking for in the other messaging apps, without the compromises and maybe without all the ugly, annoying features that you don't like about the other messaging apps, right? A lot of the noise. You don't have to use this as your only messaging app. You can still communicate with people in other ways. That's fine. But bring one person over, see if this is for you, and then maybe you grow from there. All right. Well, thank you for joining us on Freedom Tech Weekend this weekend. Hope you have a great one, and we will see you all next weekend. Later.